Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. I have guests over there across the way. We're going to talk. It's an important subject. This is something that you may or may not think about from time to time, but it's something that really folks need to know about. Do you know where your children are online? And my guests across the way are Lori Robson and Becky August. Good morning, Lori. How are you today?
I'm just fine, Bruce.
Appreciate you coming on. Yeah,
great.
I turned off my microphone. How you doing, Becky?
Just fine, thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on. Your first time on the radio. I'm so pleased.
Yeah, thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
That's just great.
Yes.
All right. Of course, Lori's the guidance counselor at FCHS, and Becky is here representing Horizon Healthcare. How did you guys get together? This is the first time this pairing has come together for a seminar type of deal, isn't it, Lori? How'd this come around?
Well, we actually have worked with, since Becky has changed positions, you know, she went out to the hospital or Horizon.
She used to work at the school.
Used to work at the school last year as our school social worker. And so since she has gone on to a different position, we have been trying to do more and more things with the hospital or Horizon because they do offer services to us as well as other agencies in our community. So Becky and I actually attended a conference last spring, and we heard the speaker, Christine Feller, from the Attorney General's office, who did a presentation on this online internet safety. And Becky actually is the one that made contact with her and wanted to schedule something at the high school.
How much of a how big of a problem is it? Tell me, can you give me kind of a breakdown or a thought process? What can happen? What's going on? How big of a problem is it?
It is a big problem because the teens want to have their phones on them constantly.
At what age do people start giving phones to kids?
Too early for me.
Well, you've got grandkids now that are probably like 4 or 5 years old. They're going to start asking for calls.
And they will not get one.
Is that right? Well, not if grandma has something
to
say.
That's right. You know, my kids and myself did not get a cell phone until they graduated from high school, even though they hated me for that.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah. But I know I have children that get cell phones when they're in fourth grade. And that, to me, that is just too early to have a cell phone. Yeah. And a lot of the problem also seems to be parents, because they want that instant connection with their child.
Yeah.
You know, before we used to be in school, they would just call the office at the school and we'd get a message and say, mom's coming to pick you up or whatever. Well, now it's like mom has to immediately.
Your dentist appointment coming up or something like that.
Yes, have to immediately contact their parents. So it's not just children. It's some of the parents have a problem with, they have to have that instant connectivity with their teens and their children.
Really?
Yes.
One of the things that struck me when I went to the conference was she talked about how this generation of kids have way more knowledge than we do about technology because they are exposed to it at such a young age. And if you think about it, who do you call when you have a problem with your phone or something's broken on your computer? You usually call a teenager or have your kid come in and fix it for you. So this is the first time really that a generation of kids that's younger knows more than the older generation.
Yeah.
And so at least
about how to make stuff work.
Right. And so what I liked about her conference was that she was talking about how we have to, as adults, equip ourselves with the information so that we can teach our kids right from wrong and give them the tools they need to be safe online, rather than just burying our heads in the sand and acting like they're not going to have contact with it, because they are using it every day, all day long, from a very young age.
And she's coming in. She coming in?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell me about the conference itself. What's going on at the seminar? Tell me, what will folks learn on, this is the 15th, so it's next Wednesday
right,
night.
Right, next Wednesday. So it'll be about a 40, 45-minute presentation is what she has, and she will show us basically some things that they can, some tips that they can teach their kids to be safe online, mm-hmm. as well as things that parents need to look for to keep their child safe. She'll also talk about, there was one thing I wanted to make sure that I talked about here, and it was she'll also talk about certain apps, and they're called Photo Vault apps.
Photo vault apps. Right. No, what is a photo vault app?
Basically, it is an app that can be almost anything, just innocent as can be, but they have hidden compartments in it to where a child or teen can actually hide some photos that they do not want their parents
Wait
to see.
Wait a second. Now, so basically these apps are set up to have, set up as hiding places.
Right. Right. And if a parent
That's creepy.
Yeah, it is. And if a parent tries to get into some of those apps or those hidden compartments, it will either sound an alarm or it may even take a photo of the person trying to get into the app so the person that has that app installed can actually see who's been trying to get in the back door.
No kidding.
Yes. So that was a real eye-opener for me. Of course, you know, my children are out of the teen years, but Miss August's kids are teenagers.
Right.
So she knew a lot about some of the apps that she was talking about.
Was it a pretty big, how big a surprise was it to you, Becky, when you went to the seminar and you watched the presentation? How much stuff out there that you didn't know already?
I like to think I'm kind of know some things because my kids will talk to me about stuff. But I guess I liked just mainly how she was talking about recognizing signs that your kids might be getting exposed to some things online that maybe you wouldn't want them to see. Ways to look for cyberbullying. Either your child might be a victim or they might be the one that is doing the cyberbullying.
Like what, for instance?
Oh,
like what are just a little thumbnail on some of the things you might see? Is it a change in behavior of a child? Is that what you see?
Yeah, getting really angry when you won't let them have access to their phone or their computer, always being on it, not being able to be away from it. They try to hide it, refuse to talk about what's going on their phone or what they're showing on their
phone.
There if they have multiple accounts.
Is there a... The stereotype of a teenager and his phone is they're on it all the time, whether or not they're being cyber bullied or bullied to anybody or having any kind of problem. Is there some kind of particular level that is typical and the a particular level of activity on their phone that is typical and if they surpass it, or is it just kind of a kid by kid thing? You know your kid, you figure out, hey, sit at the dinner table and eat and pay attention to us here instead of messing around on your phone.
I think it's a lot of that. I mean, I don't know if there's a particular level to be looking for. What the main point is just to be able to have an intelligent conversation with your kids about the technology and the apps that they're using. And like I said, adults, we don't know as much as our kids do about the apps and technology. So it's hard for us to sit down and have a conversation and not seem like we're really old-fashioned and out of touch with what's going on today. So that's what I liked about Christine's presentation, was just kind of helping parents feel more ready to have a conversation with their kids about it.
Is there a cost involved here?
No cost. It's free of charge. And
where's it going to be?
We are going to have it at the high school in the multipurpose room, which is on the third floor.
Okay.
So people will enter through door number 2. And I'm going to plan on having some of my Scholastic Society students there to kind of lead them up to the correct room.
And I guess the reason you're having it up there is that, I mean, this isn't something you're going to have people bring their laptops or something to.
No.
Up there in those rooms is where you have the ability to show screens up wide so the folks will be able to
see
what's going on.
Projector set up and a screen, and there's plenty of room in this room. It used to be the library, so there's tables and chairs, so we have plenty of room for people to attend.
We're going to take a little quiz here when we return. I like this thought of this. We're going to give me the digital safety quiz for parents. How do you think I'm going to do, Lori? I don't have children.
No, you don't. So, and that's going to be okay. So it's going to make people more aware, you know, that even if you have children, they're probably going to get some of the answers wrong.
I got to tell you, I don't have kids, and I haven't even looked at any of this, but I'm assuming that I'm going to be really, really wrong.
Then that's okay.
Oh, you see, now that's true. That will show me what I need to learn,
that's
right?
That's exactly right.
There you go. I've got Lori Robson here, along with Becky August. Lori's the guidance counselor at FCHS. Becky is with Horizon Healthcare, and they are helping put on a seminar next Wednesday night on the 15th of March at what time?
6 p.m.
At 6 p.m. And they are trying to get some more folks to make sure, get a good crowd there, because there's a lot of important stuff folks need to know. You're listening to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. We'll be back after these. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in today. It's 927, 52 degrees, on the way to around 59 today. My guests across the way are Lori Robson. She's the FCHS Guidance Counselor. And Becky August, former social worker at the school, now at the Horizon Healthcare. And what we're talking about, there's a seminar. It's going to be taking place on the 15th, on March 15th, and it's aimed at parents, isn't it?
Yes,
Lori?
It is. Yes.
And it's at 6 o'clock at the high school here in Fairfield. How long is, you said that this lady's presentation is going to be 45 minutes. How long is the entire seminar going to take? Is that the only thing part of it, or do you have other things going on?
She'll leave a question and answer section at the very end, so that way parents can get very specifically about what they want to
know. So you're looking at an hour, maybe a little over an hour.
Sure. And the hospital will also be providing cookies and drinks for them.
Cool.
So
you can't have a meeting like that without cookies and drinks.
That's
for certain. This is an important thing. Folks need to know what their kids are doing online, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Because kids aren't mature enough to realize that they're stepping into something that they don't need to be in, right?
No, they think they're mature enough, but
really,
physically they're not.
no, physically and mentally either. All right. Going to take the digital safety quiz for parents. I'm not a parent, but apparently I'm going to play one on the radio.
That's right.
Okay. All right, help me. Hit me with it. What do I need to know? Hit me with the quiz here, Lori.
Okay, which of the following steps is important in creating a positive digital culture in your home? There's several choices. A, develop and consistently enforce household rules for time limits and use of devices, apps, and sites.
Okay, now that I'm thinking is probably pretty important.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to say.
You are right. That one is important.
That one seems like, do I need to even look at the rest of them? Because I got it right then, right?
Well, let's go on.
Okay.
B.
This is like the SAT or the ACT, where you can have all the above, none of the above.
Good answer, Bruce.
All right.
My teacher is coming back in me. Okay, let's go ahead and finish the rest of the questions.
When's the last time you were a teacher?
6 or 7 years ago.
Okay.
So.
How long do you think I can get here putting you off of this and not taking the quiz?
You, a long time.
All right, B.
B, review the definition of private information with your children.
Would that do any good? I mean, because anything, the kids might not think anything's private, you know, in this day and age.
Well, and that's the truth. What you put online stays on online forever, even though you delete it. So
right.
Anonymous is not anonymous.
So you kind of need to let them know that anonymous is not anonymous.
That's
right?
Exactly
and
right.
And also letting them know, too, like, don't put... being real careful with not giving information that might let people know where you are, where you live. Kids a lot of times will fudge about their age online, which
opens them
up.
Want to be able to get into the R-rated movies or something like
that.
Right,
which is what we used to do. But that opens them up to... Yes, that opens them up to... you know, predators that might be online or something like that because they think they're dealing with someone older. So I think it's great to have a good discussion with your kids about what's private information. And also just the thought of just because they're Facebook friends, you know, we may have 650 Facebook friends, but I always tell the kids I have maybe one or two people that I can actually tell private things to.
Right.
And so there's a real misconception with, our culture with sharing information with people that it's really not their business and it's not safe
Ladies and
to
gentlemen,
be
Becky August with the wisdom of the day. All right.
I think that's an important conversation to have with kids.
Well, you know, that's the thing. I'm not even going to tell you. That's why I'm not on Facebook.
That's right.
That's exactly why I'm not.
That's why my husband isn't either.
Devil. Because, you don't know when, kids lose, people lose control on it. Okay, let's see.
C is to discuss why strong passwords are important and how to create them.
Okay, so if I put a capital letter on password as my password, is that okay?
It makes it stronger, but it doesn't necessarily have to be the first letter of the password.
I like the thought.
It could be the fourth letter capitalized.
Oh, okay. I mean a password.
Yes.
If my password's P-A-S-S-W-O-R.
Yeah, don't do that,
Don't do that?
No.
Well, okay, how about password one?
No.
Or 123.
Oh, okay, ABC 123. No. I won't do that either. All right, what's D?
Purchase technology that is appropriate for your children.
Here's what we were talking about a little bit ago. I mean, it's up to each parent to make the decision of what is appropriate for their child. You feel it's inappropriate for your family,
right.
In your case,
right.
That you don't want the kids to have a cell phone, whereas other folks might think it's basically a decision in each family, isn't it?
Yes. And, you know, a cell phone to have to contact their child saying, you know, I'm going to be 15 minutes late picking you up from practice, that's a phone call or a text. Doesn't mean they have to have a smartphone where they can get on Facebook and all these other apps.
Oh,
so there's a difference
okay.
between a dumb phone and a smartphone.
Oh, no,
what's your purpose?
Isn't a kid going to be socially ostracized if they have a flip phone?
Not all flip phones are dumb phones, and some non-flip phones are dumb phones.
Okay.
So it can look like a smartphone. It just necessarily doesn't have...
I'm getting Lori angry here.
Have to have the internet capabilities.
Lori's getting angry. All right, what's the number E?
Review appropriate websites, apps, and games for each child.
This is what we were talking about earlier, especially the apps thing. I mean, the tricky apps is scary to death for me.
Right, it is. Hidden compartments, hidden passwords. A parent can actually... make their child give them the passwords. That doesn't mean there can't be a second password to where they could get in somewhere else in that app that the parent doesn't know about.
Wow.
So it is scary. And, you know, as far as games, and it's not always talking about games on the phone, you know, we can also talk about games on PlayStation and things like that. There are games out there that are very inappropriate for young children.
When Grand Theft Auto came out, kind of thing. How much of a hullabaloo there was about that. That's kind of calmed down because the society has gone to a place in the last 10 years where it's not nearly as looked down as much as it was before. And that's neither a good or a bad thing.
Those games, you know how they have the... ratings on movies.
Yeah.
They don't have the ratings on games.
I thought they did.
Do they?
Yeah.
I didn't think
But not to that level.
Maybe not to that level.
Yeah,
because I know that
extent.
Grand Theft Auto 5, if your child has Grand Theft Auto 5 and they're under 18, they probably ought to not be playing that game.
I got to tell you, Lori, Becky is younger than you and I. we are so fortunate. We grew up at a time without the phones and these video games, because I never got into video games after high school. I mean, they were fun.
Right.
But then the good ones came out when I was in college, and I didn't care. I was already gone.
Right, right.
Just barely.
Well, and a lot of the games that people play, too, they're playing online with people. So they're having online communications while they're playing games, too.
Okay.
So parents need to be aware of what they're talking
I'm assuming that's also important to help your children set up new devices.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's exactly right.
So this is going to end up being all of the above. I could see that coming.
You got it.
What's G?
And a G is obtain all passwords for your children's devices and their apps and sites that they use.
Okay, I'm going to use H.
Yes, H is all of the above.
H,
you are correct. See,
right.
You got one right.
All right. I'm doing great.
You got it.
Now we get to the tough ones. The true or false
true
question.
True or false. Number two says almost 50% of teens with cell phones have smartphones.
Okay. Boy, I bet you it's more than that. I bet you, I'm going to say true.
It is true. And the one thing I need to preface this with, a lot of this information, this is 2013 information,
okay.
So now we're looking at 2017, so I'm sure the number is probably higher.
Probably so.
But in 13, it was around 47%, so that is almost 50. So I bet you're right in saying that over 50%. It's probably closer to 70 or more.
I would think you're probably right. Number three.
Approximately 95% of children aged 12 to 17 use the internet.
That's true, and it's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
I mean, the internet is a powerful tool.
It is.
It's a wonderful tool.
It is. It's a great educational tool as long as it's used appropriately.
That's right. How about four?
Only 10% of teens say they would change their online behavior if they knew their parents were watching.
Okay, now you're trying to trip me up. That's a good question. That's a good question. I think kids listen to their parents more than this question's giving them credit for. I'm going to say that that's false. I'm going to say that number's higher than that.
It is higher than that. In 2013, it was up to 31%, so it's hopefully it would be more than that.
You'd
so
hope.
What that means, though, is that one-third of kids are putting stuff online that they wouldn't feel comfortable showing to their parents or their grandparents.
I think what that means is two-thirds, right?
Or 31%.
I would think it'd be the other two-thirds.
Only
31%
said they would change their
online
behavior
if they knew their parents were. Oh, I got you now.
Yes.
Okay, I got you. Okay, I was confused.
Yeah.
Thanks, Becky. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. No problem.
Give me the stink eye. Make me have to rethink my. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
What's number five?
About 40% of teens say they are addicted to their technology.
That's people who don't know the actual definition of the word addiction. Really, I mean, they might say that. But they have no idea what addicted means.
Maybe not.
But knowing brain power, I'm going to guess that is true.
It is true.
Is that right?
Yep.
Wow. All right.
You know, as I spoke during the break, you know, as soon as in our case at the high school, a lot of the cases when teens finish their homework in class, they whip out their phone. That's the first thing they do, you know. In some instances, not in all classes.
Read ahead. Read ahead, for crying out loud. Oh, well, I'm showing my age, aren't I?
Yep.
All right, numbers. How am I doing, by the way?
You're doing really well for not being a parent, see?
Hey, there you go.
You are very aware of the situation, and that's really what we want, is we want these parents to have awareness of all these situations.
All right, number six.
Teens seek advice for social media privacy and settings mostly from parents or family.
Now, that's a false.
That is false. You got it.
Gigantic false.
Who are they going to go to?
They're going to go to their friends.
That's exactly right, which is what we did.
They're going to go, they're going to go to the friend who actually, in our case, might have broken into the, got the key code to be able to skip forward in Donkey Kong, right?
There you go.
Be able to skip the first five levels
there
of Ms. Pac-Man.
I mean, right. Donkey Kong and Ms. Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Those are biggies.
They were biggies.
I know.
Becky,
30 years
child.
Ago. 30 years
child.
Ago.
What
yeah.
a child. And you've got a kid in college and we're calling you a child. I feel bad about that. All right, number, what's the next one there?
So number seven, this question deals with sexting on the phone. So this question says nearly 10% of teens report sending nude or nearly nude images. We're going to switch this up. So
that's a tremendously bad idea. But I bet you that's true.
It is true. And actually, today they say almost 20% do that. Now, that's sending. What do you think the percentage is of receiving nude or nearly nude images?
Okay, it's different.
Yes.
It's 20% now for sending?
Yes.
I'm going to guess 60 to 70% receiving.
Nearly 33%, so not quite that high. So
I was thinking of dudes.
Right.
Sorry about that. Men are pigs. That is just an awful number.
It is. Well, they don't think anyone's going to see them but the person they're sending them to, and that is so incorrect.
And you realize, and they don't realize that if you put something out there like that, it's going to be, somebody can, I guess, hack in and find those images if they're interested in doing that, right?
Mm-hmm. And you know, sending nude or nearly nude images can be, get you in trouble legally.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, and I think teenagers don't realize that. They think they're doing it for fun or, whatever. And there's some legal consequences can come into play.
How much of that do you see? I mean, I guess I wonder, I mean, this is why you're here. This is what we're talking about. But how do you see a ton of that kind of thing in your position? I mean, and do you, how much of that?
I would say
I'm trying to think of a different way to ask the question. Hold on a second. How much of that do you think that you see and that parents have no idea about?
I don't think that I see as much as there probably is. And so I guess I'm saying I think this is pretty prevalent with teenagers sending, if not nudes or near, suggestive pictures, suggestive comments and things like that to each other. So sexting, I think, is very prevalent. Of course, you're not going to tell your parents about it.
No.
We didn't talk to our parents openly about sex. And so I don't think kids are going to talk about it, but that doesn't mean that just because the kids aren't talking about it that we as their adults shouldn't be talking about it. We need to tell them how dangerous this can be for them, how this can affect them being able to get a job or get into college later on, because these pictures of them doing these things will surface, that you might break up. What happens when you break up with your boyfriend and
that's
you
exactly
guys get
right.
in a fight and he sends it to all his buddies and then they send it to all their buddies and then before you know it, your picture's out there and you can't take it back.
Well, it's just really terrifying.
It is
really terrifying. I've got Lori Robson here along with Becky August. We're talking about a seminar. Do you know where your children are online? The seminar is coming up on March 15th, 2017, 6 o'clock here at the FCHS upstairs. And if folks need more information about it, you can call Lori at 847-9420. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about some other things you need to watch out for if you're unable to make the seminar, although the seminar sounds like it's going to be very fruitful. We're going to talk about some of the other things you might want to keep an eye on. I've got Lori and Becky. You're listening to the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield. Back after these.
I work from 9 to 5. Hey, hell, I pay the price. All I want is to be left alone.
Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. I've got guests across the way, Lori Robson. She's the guidance counselor at the high school, along with Becky August. Becky is social worker out at Horizon Healthcare. And we've been talking about, this is a big deal, coming up next Wednesday night, March 15th, 2017, at 6 o'clock at the high school here in town. This is Do You Know Where Your Children Are Online? A lot of great information going to be presented there that night. Probably take about an hour long. And Lori, let's talk a little bit more about that night in particular. It's going to be hands-on, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's going to be hands-on question and answer section at the end of the presentation. Because she's not going to be able to cover every single app and every single issue out there. Yeah. So she'll have time to be able to actually meet with the parents and answer their questions individually, hopefully.
Do folks need to give you a call if they're going to come, or can they just show up?
We have had an RSVP because we had to have had at least 15 sign up in order for her to even come down.
Uh-huh.
And so we are surpassed our 15. So they don't necessarily have to call anymore, but it would help need to get, more than what our food's going to
Food and your packages.
That's right.
Because everybody's everybody's going to get a package.
That's right.
A packet of, and she's given me a portion of the packet here, which is the list of acronyms that parents probably should know. I am astonished.
Right.
At this list of acronyms that kids are probably, this is what you're seeing, what parents are seeing in their text messages, presumably.
Sure.
Potentially. And I know 10% of these. And KPC. How do you like KPC? Keeping parents clueless.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't know that one.
Damn.
That's a new one.
And they change constantly, so.
Tell me about, people have smartphones. Kids have smartphones. Parents have smartphones. What's the as the parent is looking at his smartphone, his or her smartphone, they have Facebook and they have half a dozen apps that they go to normally. How does somebody know what's a good one if they're looking at their kid's phone? How are they going to know what's a good one versus one that might have one of those backdoor things you're talking about?
A really good website I think to use to check some of that out is called Common Sense Media. And you can type in their search engine whatever app you happen to find on your kid's phone. I mean, this is good for any kind of media your kid might be exposed to.
Really?
Movies, music, yeah. But it'll kind of give you the pros and cons. And it's not all – I like it because it's not all just anti about, it's realistic that kids are going to see this stuff. But, again, I guess that's why it's called Common Sense Media. So I would check that out. If you found some app on your kid's phone and don't know what it is, you could always check it out there.
Well, that's the thing. There are so many different photo apps or different apps of any kind that you might find on your kid's phone. They're using different ways. They're learning new ways to communicate all the time, basically to keep stuff from mom and dad, right? I mean, it's just like 50 years ago, we were 70 years ago, we were writing notes in class.
Right.
They're doing that in a little different fashion, right?
Yes. But we did have some privacy, too, which is what I try to remind parents of, too, is I can remember stretching the phone cord around so that my parents couldn't hear what I was saying on the phone. So, I mean, especially teenagers do need some privacy for some of that stuff. It's just equipping them with the tools to be able to get themselves out of an unsafe situation or being able to recognize if something's going too far. That's where we need to step in because they still, a kid's brain is developing until they're 25. They don't have all those adult skills that we like to think that they have.
And then
have.
We just go downhill from there.
That's right.
You?
Yeah. It's just, that's right.
Lori,
speak for yourself, Bruce.
I'm way downhill. Lori, you've got all kinds of stuff there. Tell me about, you said you've got a seeking assistance one there. Is that for the parents or is that for
is for the parents. What do you do when your child gets in a situation, with Facebook or Snapchat and they're being bullied or, they have an inappropriate picture or someone has misconstrued a picture of themselves and they're being threatened or whatever. So some things that parents can do is basically document everything that happens. And, of course, that's just
how do I document something that's on my phone?
You take screenshots of
– Okay, first thing, you're going to have to tell me how to take a screenshot.
It's on your phone. You have to turn it on to be able to take a screenshot.
Okay.
But basically, you try to get all copies of everything that's been said online with your child. You know, of course, date it.
Sure.
You know, write down a little documentation of what has happened and so forth and so forth. Try to help the child disconnect with the offender if it is somebody that's trying to get them to do something. Yeah. Teach them how to do that.
That's a tricky part, isn't it?
It's very tricky.
How do you get, I mean, the kid may or may not think that an offender is, well, we're just playing, you know, something like that. How do parents convince a kid that this is a bad idea?
Well, I mean, first of all, the parent's job is to keep a kid safe. So if the parents deem that it's unsafe, you know, even if the kid doesn't understand that right at that point, it's still the parent's call.
Yeah.
But I think kids are pretty understanding. I mean, they as much as they know about technology, they've also kind of heard along the way about being careful and about cyberbullying and about, you know, being safe. And so I think just explaining to them why, rather than reacting as parents, like with this fear and just block it all, shut off all your internet, have a conversation, a rational, calm conversation with them, explaining why you are so concerned about what is going on, and then help them, what can we do to help keep you safer online? If it's that we need to, you know, set up your privacy settings differently so that people aren't seeing as much, if it's that there's certain apps that maybe just really aren't good that we shouldn't have, if it's that it's just this particular person that seems to be causing you problems, let's block them so that you don't, you know, and you just have a conversation with them and let them be a part of it too.
We're talking about the March 15th, next Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. It's Do You Know Where Your Children Are Online? It's going to be at the Fairfield Community High School, and it is as worthwhile as a seminar as I think that they've ever had up there. Do you see much cyberbullying? You've been at the high school. You've been teaching for X number of years now. Do you see a different amount of bullies from now as to when you started, or are you just aware of it more? Lori, what do you think?
Well, it's before. It was in the hallway.
Yeah.
You know, or it was in the classroom, and they basically face-to-face, and they did something.
Face-to-face, shove up against a wall
and
like that.
Hopefully as teachers, you're there to kind of put a stop to it.
As a teacher, you could hear a back hit the locker.
That's right. But now, you don't know what's on their phone when they're getting texts or Facebook comments or things like that. And so it's sneaky. It's, you know, I'm sure it's, I think it's more. I think there's more and more cyberbullying going on.
Well, and there's a greater ability to spread the word to the masses like there never was before. You know,
really?
So it used to be one-to-one. Maybe there was some bullying or, you know, three or four kids were bullying somebody. And now you can get everybody's exposed
to
your rude comment or your hateful gossip that you're spreading
online. And all of a sudden, instead of one kid facing what they might think of as two or three other people,
they feel like the whole school's against them because the whole school's got the picture of them and what they did on Saturday.
Wow.
You know, but the other thing I think is important is that it cannot just be the school protecting the kids from this stuff online. And that's why I think it's so important that parents come out and educate themselves, too, because it's got to be a team effort. The school has the kids 8 hours
a
day,
and
the other 16 hours – they're yours. And so do you know what they're doing online? Have you had conversations with them openly about what you do and don't condone when it comes to online behavior?
And the point is, folks need to learn what's good and bad.
Right.
Parents need to have the knowledge to be able to get to that point, right?
Right, because I think our knee-jerk reaction is just cut it off.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
You're not going to have access to it. Well, that's
Can't
not realistic. That's not going to happen.
We're talking, that's coming up next Wednesday. Next Wednesday night at 6 o'clock up at the Fairfield Community High School. Which door you want them to come in?
Door number two.
Door number two.
Which
that's
is the
long breezeway.
Side
breezeway.
Right there by the gym.
Come in there, and it's going to be worth your while for certain, folks. If you need more information, give Lori a call at 618-847-9420, and she'll be able to help you out. Ladies, I can't tell you how much of I wasn't going to say pleasure, but a scary day it's been. How's that sound? Thanks for coming on.
You're
Thanks
welcome.
For having
Thank
us.
You, Bruce.
That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today. We'll talk to y'all real soon.